Pastor Jeff with a word about our giving unto the Lord.
Giving is between you and God. It is to be in secret. Don't keep a mental note of it. Don't say, look what I have done. I'm so giving. Hey, I've done so much. You know, and like bragging on what you've done. Again, it's the motive. Don't keep books. Don't keep a diary. You say, but Jeff, what about income tax? I mean, what do we do with that? Well, I think you need to keep that, but that's private, right? That's in secret. And you keep your books and what you give to God and what is given as a donation and all. And I think that's good. I think God is holding us as stewards of that, because the scripture says we're to give unto Caesar that which is Caesar. And if you don't have to give it to Caesar, don't give it to him. Give it to God.
Your spirit leads me on, and I'm running after
when you give, whose approval and applause are you seeking, man's or God's? We'll allow that penetrating question to examine our own hearts today on Sound Doctrine. Today we'll be covering the first few verses of Matthew chapter 6. Throughout the scriptures, we're encouraged to give. But as we'll see in our study today, Jesus has his eye on more than just our outward actions. He's also concerned with why we're doing what we're doing, and even how we do it. Here's our teacher, Pastor Jeff Johnson, focusing on how we're to live righteously.
Father, won't you speak to me? Oh Lord, you know I'm listening. You know exactly what I need. So Father, won't you speak to me?
So what about rewards? He talks about that here, rewards. You will not get a reward, he says. He teaches that if you do right, you're going to get rewarded. And over in chapter 5 of Matthew, in verse 12, notice he says, rejoice, be exceeding glad, for great is your reward. So he's talking about rewards. Well, Jeff, I mean, I'm just doing it. I don't do it for the rewards. I just do it to bless God. And just serve God, you know, and you go look at the guy, oh, what a man, you know. Come on, you know. What are you in this for? Do you want the blessings of God for your life? Is that what you want? Do you want God's hand to be upon your life? Sure, God's always giving us rewards. If you just turn your wicked heart to the Lord, and he'll show himself strong to you, and his blessing and his hand will be upon your life. And that's a reward. That helps me to turn. You know, I don't know what it does to you. That there are rewards, and it's part of our motivation. Notice verse 4 of chapter 6. He says, at the very end, and thy Father which sees in secret himself shall reward thee openly. So there are rewards. Now, another key to victory is to see God. Remember over in Matthew 5:8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall what? See God. I remember how Elisha, you know, saw the Assyrians outside of his house, but his servant didn't see. But Elisha also saw the angels of the Lord surrounding the Syrian army. So he was just in peace going, wow, Lord, you're really going to do something today, you know. And he was excited. But the servant came to the window and just saw the Assyrians, and he freaked out. And Elisha just said, oh, God, and what a great prayer. Lord, open his eyes so that he can see as I see. That's my prayer. Lord, open our eyes that we can see in the spiritual realm what's going on. Help us to grow up spiritually. Over in Hebrews chapter 12, Jesus, it says, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, suffering the shame. What was the joy that he saw? He looked into his Father's eyes. Going further on in Hebrews chapter 11, Moses, as he was not willing to go, and actually he forsook Egypt, and it says in verse 27 of Hebrews 11, not fearing the wrath of the king, he endured as seeing him who is invisible. He looked to the Lord. And then in Hebrews 11, it goes on to talk about all those that lived in the hall of faith. They all were looking for something afar off. They all had their eyes on the Lord. That's how come they could handle where they were living and what they were going through. They looked to the Lord. In 1 Corinthians, it talks about, and those uncomely things that we look as not important, God says, no, in the body of Christ, they are the most important, as we think about our nursery workers today, as they are hidden away behind these walls, watching all of our children, taking care of all the babies and changing their diapers and on and on. We need to pray for them. We need to give them more abundant comeliness. And we need to hold them up because they're doing a very crucial thing that blesses all of us. It's like my toe and my shoe, my big toe. If I didn't have my big toe, I couldn't walk. I'd limp. So I take care of my toe and I cut the nail once in a while and clean it and, you know, take care of it. I don't kick it against things. And, you know, no. It's a very important part. In Hebrews 11:10, it says, Abraham looked for a city, eyes upon him. It's okay to seek rewards. Listen, we are going to the Bema Seat of Christ. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, it talks about we are all going to the Bema Seat. That is the seat of rewards for those things that we've done for Christ. Only one life, soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ is going to last. And that's the truth. We're going to get rewards for what we've done with Jesus here on this earth. And that's the Bema Seat. It's not we're going to be judged for the bad things. No, it's the good things. It's the place where, you know, in the Olympics, they would line up and there would be three stands, first, second, and third, and the different bronze, but they would put a wreath on their head. And it was a very important thing. But we will receive rewards, and they'll be tried. Our works will be tried with fire, and they'll be judged. Over in Revelation 22:12, Jesus says, "And behold, I come quickly. My reward is with me to give to every man according as his work shall be." So he's coming to reward, and that's going to be quite a time. And then, of course, Paul saying, "I have fought the fight. I've run the race. And there's a crown set for me. Not for me only when I get there finally, but for all those that love his appearing, his coming. They're also going to get that crown of righteousness." It is interesting that there are no rewards to those who seek it from men, to get the reward from men. They don't get a reward from God. And man's rewards are really temporal anyhow, aren't they? I mean, come on. Remember in the past how you worked so hard to win something, to get something, and they gave you that trophy and how good you felt and you got it. And I remember when I was in high school, I won the surfing contest and I brought it up, you know, and I was holding it up and, you know, yeah, I got it. And then the years went by and then I didn't know where it was. And it was out in the garage in a box and I went frantically out there and I dug it out and the arm had broken off. And the presentation thing, it fell off. And it was just in a mess. So I thought, I got to get this thing resurrected. So I got some electrician's tape, and I put a little wetsuit on the guy and put his arm back on. And it looked great. And it went for maybe a year or so, and then I don't know where it is. It's gone, man. It's just fleeting. And these things that we work so hard for just fall apart in front of us. But no, Paul says, I fight for that which is eternal, not that which is corrupt and falling apart here. I am putting my treasures in heaven. And that's a great place to put them. So we're not to care what others think. I mean, when I study and when I teach the word, I got to push that aside. Is it politically correct? I don't care. What God says is the truth that sets us free. And God help me to present the truth. And you take it from there. But I don't care what man thinks. And I pray that I will always preach this way and feel this way and not go away from this. Because it doesn't matter what man thinks. It matters what God thinks. And that we get the truth. If we get all of our rewards in this world from man, think about this. What remains to come to me from God? I mean, if I get all my pats on the back and all of this and that and the, from this world, what's left for me that God has for me? Scary thought. Treasures in heaven. So, verse 1 is the principle. Now he illustrates this by showing us how to live righteously and help others. There is a wrong way and a right way to do this, and so Jesus is going to give it to us. Chapter 6, verse 2. So therefore, after giving the principle, let me give you an illustration. When thou doest thine almsgiving, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be have their glory of men. Verily I say, truly I say unto you, they have their reward. Now, I was reading in the commentaries, and some guys would say, well, they really didn't toot horns. But this is just a figure of speech that Jesus is just trying to get the point across. That don't try to draw attention to yourself. But then I read a couple others, and they said, yeah, well, this is what they did. The Pharisees would go out in the middle of the marketplace, they'd have their money bags on them, and then they'd take a little horn, and they'd blow it, and all the poor people and the beggars would come to them, and they'd get out their bags, and they'd look around and make sure everybody's looking, and they'd start giving to the poor. So everybody could see and say, oh, what a great guy that is. Oh, look at him, give to the poor. And he's give. Oh, look at how he gave to that little, oh, yes. Well, they got their reward. You know, it's almost like, you know, on these TV channels where they're doing fundraisers and somebody gives a big amount and how everybody goes, da, 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 and they dance around. Well, you got your reward. The same thing. So when you give, now is giving important? You bet. Giving is very important. I heard this, it's Old Testament tithing and New Testament giving. You give as God has purpose in your heart, so let a man give, and that's what the scripture says. And so you can give or not give, but there's no such thing as tithing. Well, before you make that decision, you need to go back in the Old Testament and study a little bit more, because you'll find out that tithing was before the law. You say, we're not under the law. That's true. It came before the law with Abraham and Melchizedek. He came to Melchizedek, who was a type of Christ, and he gave one-tenth of everything that he had to Melchizedek. And then going further on in the Old Testament, you see, when they came to Jericho, that God was going to give them 10 cities. And Jericho was to be the first, but it was to be Corban. The word there means it was to be given and sacrificed unto the Lord. Right off the top, the first tenth was God's. So tithing is important. I mean, if you're going to start tithing, I think 10% is a good place to start. Now, we're not under the law, but it's a good place to start. Now, we're going to get a little bit more of this in Matthew 6:19. We're going to learn a little bit more about our giving. But Malachi 3:10 makes it very clear that if you bring all of your, you know, store or all your tithes into the storehouse, God is going to pour out. And God says, you prove me on this, that I won't pour out from heaven a many blessings upon you. And I will give you wisdom what to do, and I'll help you to be a good steward, and you just bring it unto me, and I'll do the rest. And then in Matthew 23:23, Jesus said to the scribes and Pharisees, oh, I see how you give your tithe, and you're so careful to balance it out, just exactly a tenth. And yes, you should do that. But then he says, but you've lost the real meaning of giving, and that is with your mercy and judgment on how you deal with people. In Luke 6, Chapter 38, Luke says, or Jesus is speaking here, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give unto your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet, that you give, with all shall it be measured unto you. And then you go into scriptures like 2 Corinthians 9:6, where Paul says that if you give bountifully, you'll receive bountifully. But if you give sparingly, you'll receive sparingly. So it's not that God needs our money. When God needs our money, he's hurting. Okay? He doesn't need our money. But he gives us the opportunity to give, and you find out after a while you can't afford not to give, because it's part of our letting go. It's part of our being blessed of God. It's part of our just entering in to kingdom living. And he then gives us, as we give, he gives us wisdom to be a good steward over what he's given us. It's just part of walking with the Lord. Now, there's the wrong way to do it, and that's blow a trumpet, Jesus said. And so he says, I hope you're getting the picture. You're drawing attention to yourself. Pastors in the past, maybe 100 years ago, used to have such a way that they would dress and such a way that a demeanor. They would walk in the house with their hands folded. And, yes, I am here. Oh, my child, you know, yes, you need prayer, you know, and they just have this demeanor about themselves. It was just weird. And they put on this kind of thing. I think today the demeanor is more of a towel over the shoulder and screaming and hollering, you know, And it's almost like the same thing. What are you doing? Why don't you just calm down and be honest in your delivery and not act like it's such a sacrifice what you're doing? You know, you have your reward then. I heard a pastor tell a story about a lady that she came up to him and she said, I've got a great idea for a ministry. I'm going to call it Faith Lines. And the great uniqueness of this ministry is there's never going to be any offerings taken or collection taken. You know, God's going to provide and it's going to be great. So right before the pastor was to come up and give his message, he let her have about 10 minutes. And the pastor says this, she spent 10 minutes and made one of the most effective appeals for funds and money I have ever heard on no collection. Because she kept on saying, we're not going to collect anything, no offerings, over and over and over again. It's so subtle. But, you know, that subtle message, you know, saying it without really saying it. And people get so good at doing that. Well, I'm just an evangelist here, and, you know, and I just want to share with you, could use a van. But anyhow, then we are doing this, and then we need a sound system, you know. But, you know, whatever, when the Lord guides, you know, and then he goes on, and, you know, like in his message, just trying to get it. God desires us to be honest. If your motive is wrong, Jesus said, you have your reward. In Africa, I remember when we went there, I was shocked. And they took up an offering and everybody got their handkerchiefs out and raised their money up and started dancing. And there's no way I'm getting out there and doing that. I watched them in amazement as they were just, you know, just trying to, you know, just everybody see me and see what I'm given. And they put it in there. And they got the reward. It's got to be secret. That's what Jesus is saying. That's what makes it special. I had a guy give me, you know, one Sunday morning, I come out here and there's a nice bouquet out here. And I went, wow, that's interesting. That's great. That looks great. And a guy came up and I said, I'm going to do it every Sunday. Don't worry about it. We'll have, you know, I want to own this flower shop. You're going to get it. It's going to be there. So last week and then another week. The third week, it wasn't there. Come to find out, it wasn't there because I didn't say anything about him putting it there. Because he wanted kind of, you know, should have just mentioned my flower shop or something, you know. Well, you have your reward, man. Do it as unto the Lord. And don't have a motive that you're doing something to get something else. Because that's what he's talking about here. He will bless. Tithe, and here's the thing. People ask, well, should I tithe on the net or on the gross? Well, you need to think about that. Because if you sow bountifully, you're going to reap bountifully. Sow sparingly, you're going to reap sparingly. So that answered that question. I mean, it's just how you give and what's the best way to give is his way. Now, here's the right way. Let's look at it, and we'll close with this. Verse 3. But when thou doest alms, when you do your righteousness, let not your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your alms may be in secret. Here's the right way. Say or do nothing. Don't even tell yourself you're doing it. Just do it. And when you do it, don't make a big deal about it. Just give humbly. Don't be like the Pharisee. You know, the Pharisee gets up there and says, as he's getting ready to pray, God, I thank you I'm not like that guy over there, that publican. And then he went on with his prayer. I mean, it was strange. And then we know whose prayer was heard, not his. Giving is between you and God. It is to be in secret. Don't keep a mental note of it. Don't say, look what I have done. I'm so giving. Hey, I've done so much. You know, and like bragging on what you've done. Again, it's the motive. Don't keep books. Don't keep a diary. You say, but Jeff, what about income tax? I mean, what do we do with that? Well, I think you need to keep that, but that's private, right? That's in secret. And you keep your books and what you give to God and what is given as a donation and all. And I think that's good. I think God is holding us as stewards of that because the scripture says we're to give unto Caesar that which is Caesar. And if you don't have to give it to Caesar, don't give it to him. Give it to God. And so we work out the things that is right to do. And God will bless that. But we do it in secret. We need to be good stewards. And I believe that this area of giving is the one of the most private places of this church that you'll ever see, that you won't see. And I don't even know what's going on. I don't know what anybody gives. I don't even know after the services what's been given or nothing, because I don't care. It's all God's. And it's to be top secret. And in this church, it's top secret. And it should be. It's secret between you and Him. So we're to love the Lord. We're to die to self. And Jesus is trying to get us going here. We're to be so in love with the Lord that we think only of His glory. We remember His sacrifice as He hung there for us. And the result of that, as we're doing things behind the scenes and we're not letting others know, not trying to make a big deal of it, the last portion is verse 4. He says, "And thy Father which is in seeth in secret, Himself shall reward thee openly." And He keeps good books, let me tell you. He keeps perfect books. And He will reward thee openly, and He has rewarded, and He will reward every single one of us that does it as unto the Lord. He is faithful. He is faithful. Remember, He knows everything, and even the little things. Remember over in Matthew 25 where it says, And when I was in prison, you visited me. When I was naked, you clothed me. When I was hungry, you fed me. And then the righteous are going to say, well, when did we do that, Lord? When did we see you hungry and fed you? When did we visit you in prison? He says, as you've done it unto the least of these, my brethren, you've done it as unto me. And He's speaking there of Israel. What have you done for Israel? That's interesting. Just the little things that we do that are behind the scenes that no one else knows about. He says, you've done it unto the least of these, my brethren. You've done it unto me. And we are rewarded. Everything is written in the books. God keeps good books. Revelation 20, 22, the books were opened. Malachi 3, 16, those that feared the Lord and met often, every time we come in here and meet in fellowship, God writes it in the book. And He says He puts it in His book. And then I love that one in Philippians where He says, talking to those in Philippi, Paul thanking them. He says in Philippians 4, verse 3, "And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with the other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life." That's the greatest book to be in, isn't it? To have your name in the book of life. You talk about rewarded openly, His provision for our lives. And then later on to be able to hear these words. And I'm looking forward to that day. "Well done, thou good and faithful servant of the Lord. Enter into the joy of the Lord." That's going to be the greatest of all rewards. God help us to be honest, though, that we might practice living in His presence to please Him and Him alone and not do it as unto men. Forget about men. We need to live our lives before our Holy Father. And as we do that, remember this, the most important relationship, the most important principle is our relationship with God. So, is your name in the book of life? It can be this morning. As many as received Christ, He gives them the power to become the children of God. And when you receive Jesus, your name is written in the book of life. He gives to us eternal life. He gives to us age-abiding life. He gives to us abundant life in the now. The word there, everlasting life, has to do with now too. It's a good life. Come, taste and see that the Lord is good, and you won't regret it.
That's Pastor Jeff Johnson on Sound Doctrine. We've been in Matthew chapter 6 today, in a message we've entitled, Living in His Presence. Get today's study on CD when you call us toll-free at 800-353-7553. The suggested donation is $5. Again, 800-353-7553. You can also replay any message that you enjoy at sounddoctrineradio.org and listen to Pastor Jeff through the Sound Doctrine podcast, wherever you get your podcasts. We're also on oneplace.com. Marijuana, self-realization, meditation, self-hypnosis, psychedelic drugs, yoga. Jeff Johnson tried all of that and more in his search for the clear light. But it wasn't until he met Jesus that his life truly changed, and he experienced life and light. In his book, The Seeker, you'll hear this amazing testimony, and I think you'll be left greatly encouraged and thankful. We're offering The Seeker right now at sounddoctrineradio.org. You can also call us at 353-7553. Sound Doctrine is listener supported. Simply put, it takes a team to accomplish this goal of reaching people around the world with the sound doctrine contained in God's Word. Whether it's a one-time gift or ongoing monthly support, God is using it in great ways to impact people with His life-changing truth. You can make a secure donation online at sounddoctrineradio.org. Or again, call 800-353-7553. If you've been blessed as you've studied along with Pastor Jeff, please let us know. Email us today at sounddoctrine@calvarydowney.org. Please mention the station that you listen to and tell us what the Lord is doing in your life. That's sounddoctrine@calvarydowney.org. Come back next time when we'll have another study in Matthew's Gospel for you here on Sound Doctrine with Pastor Jeff, a presentation of Calvary Chapel Downey. So far.